Episode 109, How to Maintain a Minimalist Lifestyle.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
My name is Jill.
And we have another episode on minimalism for you guys today.
What?
It is a happy day for me, and I'll let you know why later. But we periodically do episodes on minimalism because sometimes you're stuck in your house for like 6-7 weeks and you just clear out all your closets. I mean, that happens sometimes.
Yes. It's the best use of time.
Yeah. And then you want to like maintain that, all that hard work that you just did. So That's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. We love minimalism. It pairs so well with frugality.
Yes.
But yeah, then how do you maintain it? Which is pretty much what our podcast is about,
right?
With frugality, how to maintain it.
Yes. How do you keep doing it? Yes. So before we get into that, let's get on with our sponsors.
Here we go. We've got two very legit sponsors today. The first one is Your Ad Here. As if it wasn't hard enough to source our own sponsors, now the world has fallen apart and there are no ad budgets for podcasts. So while we look for our next sponsor, there are two ways you listeners, can financially support us without actually giving us your money.
Yes.
Impossible?
Yeah.
Not so. Make other people
do it.
Yes. So the first one is, if you sign up for Personal Capital using our referral link, frugalfriendspodcast.com/PCAP, we both get kickbacks, but let me describe this. So Personal Capital is a free app that allows you to monitor and track all of your financial accounts from one place. It's awesome, again, and totally free. So when you use our link to sign up and connect a 401k, a 403b, your IRA, your 529, or any investment account with at least $1,000, you get a $20 Amazon gift card, and so do we. So again, our referral link is frugalfriendspodcast.com/PCAP. And who doesn't need Amazon gift cards? So
right.
That's
and
an
I
easy
love
way.
Personal Capital.
To
I
support,
love it.
Yeah, support yourself, support us. So that's the first way. The second way is to sign up for Rakuten. So we're still running this. You've probably heard it on previous episodes. So this is still happening. If you sign up for Rakuten and spend $25 at any online store they offer cash back at, you get $10 also. So sign up at frugalfriendspodcast.com/Rakuten and download the Chrome extension to see every time Rakuten offers cash back at a store. So if you do this before June 30th, you'll get a $30 bonus cash back. And so will we. That's more. That's a whole lot more than it used to be.
I know. It's only through June 30th though. So normally it is 10. Mm-hmm. But if you do it before June 30th, We both get 30. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are two ways that you can help us. And we would really encourage you to do that within either one of these or both of them within the next month. That will really help us.
And thanks. Hopefully in that time, we'll find an actual sponsor.
We'll so we can see. Keep going.
Can't make any promises, I guess. Our other sponsor is First Birthdays. Today
Yay!
Is Kai's first birthday. We've kept him alive for a full year, and I am impressed. I've been dreaming about throwing him a first birthday party since before he was born, because let's be honest, a first birthday isn't for the kid, it's for the parents. I bought space decorations on Amazon because people on Facebook looked at me weird for asking if I could have their decorations. First birthdays, I will give anyone these decorations when I'm done with them.
Oh my goodness. There's so many things. I don't know what to ask about first. Well, first of all, congratulations on keeping
you.
Kai alive for a year.
I'm
happy
glad
birthday,
that was
Kai.
Your first one.
Yes. Not a question.
Right.
Just a congratulations.
Thank you.
Also,
it's been a year.
You saw other people's first birthday decorations and messaged them asking if you could borrow them.
I was in a mom's group on Facebook, a local mom's group, and I was like, hey, does anybody have any first birthday decorations? I'm not picky, but I do have a boy. And somebody gave me a referral link to buy decorations online. And I was like, shut up. I work online. I know what you're doing. So nobody pulled through.
That's funny that they would think that's funny. I think that's normal.
Yeah. But we're the frugal friends, and that's what we do, because we're minimalist and we don't want to bring more things into our house if we don't have to.
Or pay money on something that you're only going to use once.
Right. And I did. So I will pass it on to anybody else who wants to throw a space-themed first birthday for their child. Let me know. And I'll send these to you. And Amazing. That's where I'm at. And that's because I hate having extra stuff, because I love minimalism.
Yes. Pass it on.
Yes.
Pay it forward.
We have a few other episodes on minimalism. If you've been listening for a while, you've heard them. If not, then check out episode 89 with Desiree Endress. She's the host of the Minimalish podcast. And we have her on talking about being minimal-ish. And then episode 99, we talk about contentment, gratitude, and flexible minimalism. So that's kind of the name of our game, is flexible-ish minimalism. And for some reason, without planning, yes, every 10th episode has been about minimalism. Yeah. 89, 99, 109, that was not planned.
Yeah.
But we're going to keep doing it
now. Let's look forward to 119.
Yeah. But yeah.
If we're still around.
Hopefully. Cheers. So we wanted to do this episode today because, yes, a lot of people have been decluttering over the past 2 months. And how do we keep going with this newfound minimalism? How do we maintain it? And that's what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. And our first article is from Becoming Minimalist. And he is giving us 7 powerful ways to maintain momentum after decluttering. So this is right after decluttering. How do you keep on the path when life gets busy again?
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is a great perspective to come from, because a lot of times, even within the minimalist movement, it's a how to become minimalist. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to then talk about how do we maintain that, because we're not just going to automatically keep doing it. It's very easy to fall back into our old patterns and ways of doing things. So I like the approach that this first article takes of how to find new opportunities and live intentionally, which is the undercurrent of minimalism. It's not just about having less stuff. It's actually not really about that at all, hardly, but more about what you can do with your time. What's the best use of your time, energy, money, and how can we live in more intentionally because our spaces are less cluttered and we inside ourselves are less cluttered.
Yeah. And I forgot that we actually had Joshua Becker, the writer behind Becoming Minimalist. We had him on the show.
Yeah.
And that was episode 32. I just looked it up. So you can check him out.
One of my favorite episodes, for the record. I was fangirling hard.
Same. Yeah. we love Joshua Becker and Becoming Minimalist. So he's got such great things to say. What were some of your favorite things from the 7 powerful ways?
Yeah. So number 2 stood out to me, which is take better care of your things. I think we can maintain what we've already begun by making sure that we are caring for the things that we do have so that they last longer, and also to keep us from that urge of, I need to buy new, or I need to buy different, or I need to throw this out, or I need to buy more and have multiple. By taking care of our things, not only does that make it last longer, but I think it also helps us to be more invested in what we do have and appreciate it if we're caring for it. So one of the examples Joshua gives with number 2 is line drying your clothes, like not putting them through the dryer. It makes clothes last longer if we line dry it. Apparently it takes away the life of your article of clothing if we are constantly putting it through the dryer. Not to mention, as we've talked about in other episodes, that can save on energy costs. There's a lot of other benefits that can happen as a result of that. But finding ways that will help your items have more life to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doing your research for sure. I liked his first one, which is start a blog. So this one is close to my heart because this is how I maintained momentum when we were paying off debt. That's exactly why I started my blog, is to have just some motivation, some accountability. I didn't think anyone would read it. I just wanted to have maybe something to like help me decompress and figure stuff out. And so he says that starting a blog is one of the most important things he's ever done for his intentional living journey. And I wholeheartedly agree. So if this is a lifestyle that you want to continue to stay engaged with, you don't have to stay engaged with paying off debt or being minimalist. You can just have that be a part of your life. But if it's something that you want to continue to stay engaged with and learn more about and have as a large part of your life, then starting a blog can really be an outlet for you to research and learn and decompress your thoughts.
Yeah. I forgot that that was the beginning intention of blogs, almost like an online journal. And if you wanted to read it, fine. Otherwise, this is a way to not take up space on my computer. It's just being stored on the internet and people can read it if they want. It's become something so much different than that. But I feel like what you're describing and what's being described in this article is kind of getting back to the roots of what the intention of blogs are. Kind of, a way to decompress or a way to theorize, a way to track, a way to log. And letting other people read your journal.
And help, like, just helping the people around you. I think another reason that I started my blog was I wanted to help my friends and family learn some of the things that I had been learning. And when people started reading it, it just motivated me more to keep helping other people. And helping people really helped keep me motivated.
So
that's another great thing about a blog.
Something else you can do with your time is volunteer. So this obviously is up to each individual on where they want to volunteer, how much time they want to volunteer, what kind of skill sets you have to be able to volunteer. And this might seem like a weird thing to say, but I think it links back to what we're talking about with maintaining minimalism means that we need to look for new opportunities and ways to live intentionally and ways to fill our time that are purposeful, again, to keep us from falling back into old patterns of spending all of our time upkeeping all of our stuff or purchasing more or fill in the blank with everything that coincides with just having a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And so when we realize like our version of minimalism, it comes with the territory that sometimes we have some extra time. And what are we going to do with that in a really purposeful, intentional way of spending that time is to volunteer. So finding a local nonprofit that you feel confident about and being able to give of some of your time on a weekly, biweekly, even monthly basis. And I love what Joshua points out in this article that it's not just about what you're doing to volunteer, but it's also about connecting with other volunteers, like-minded people who are also giving of their time can create a really beautiful community. And at whatever place you are volunteering at, forming relationships with the people there also. So it can expand life so much by doing that.
Yeah. And there's no shortage of opportunities to volunteer right now. There's a lot of need from organizations locally, especially. So definitely figure out a place where you can help the people in your community.
Yeah, even in social distanced ways. Of being able to even make meals for people and drop them off. Like you said, there's tons of ways. And I think even just reaching out to different nonprofits in your community can help to identify what you could do right now.
Mm-hmm. Along that lines, number four is to donate money. I loved that one because it directly aligns with frugality. We buy less and mm-hmm. we spend less mm-hmm. so that we can invest more in the things that we care about. But that's not just in our lives. That also is in causes and people that really need us. Mm-hmm. We can't rely on other people, billionaires, the government, whoever you think is going to take care of the people that need it. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to rely on ourselves and each other. And so if you have enough, you can give the extra. Yeah. And even if you don't have enough right now, giving a little bit will be a practice for when you do have enough that you will continue to give and give more. So when you give a little, it's a higher percentage than when you do eventually get rich and you're giving a lot, like you can give the same percentage.
When we're all millionaires.
Right.
Someday.
When we are all millionaires.
That's the goal of frugality and minimalism.
Yeah. Yeah. As your debt gets paid off and you're spending lessons, just figure out ways, either organizations that give a significant portion of their donations to the community or whoever they're serving, or even just directly to people, like cut mm-hmm. out the middleman. And if you see people around you suffering, take them a meal, give them a gift card, like do things that aren't going to hurt their pride. Don't just like write them a check or give them cash, but figure out ways to honor those struggling in your community with some kind of monetary donation. Mm-hmm. It's what we need right now. It's what our world needs right now.
Mm-hmm. There's two on here that just are not super relevant given current circumstances and
yeah.
the age of Corona. The one is travel somewhere new and the other one is do nothing. And I feel like neither one of those are super applicable right now. So we're gonna pass over that and go ahead, Jen, with the last one.
Yeah, this is another one of my favorite things to talk about. Establish a new daily habit. I love talking about habits, how to build them, how to break them. It's like my thing. And having less actually gives your brain more opportunity and space to process because you're visually like not drawn to so many places. When you have a minimalist home or minimalist schedule, your brain can be in one place for longer and it can make better decisions. Mm-hmm. And so that aids you in, it sets you up to be able to build better habits. Mm-hmm. And attaching a new habit to an action that you already have, or just starting something small and trying to do it for 60 consecutive days, that's what the article says, will help you to improve 10% every month, and eventually you'll be 100% better. Like maybe, I think that's how fractions work. But having a minimalist lifestyle will help you. And then also actively and intentionally trying to form new and better habits. Mm-hmm. That provides action in your life, and action is actually what produces motivation. So it's not you get motivated and then you act. It's action that produces motivation. So the more you mm-hmm. act, the more motivation you have. Mm-hmm. And so this is a tiny way to start off with some action and increase your motivation to mm-hmm. remain minimalist.
I'm always drawn to the ones that have numbers attached to it. Like, it gets me that this says something for 10 minutes for 60 consecutive days. That to me sounds like, all right, let's try it. We can do this. It's not just like, start a new habit. Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
And you have to get tomorrow. You have to get past the mindset too that like little things are pointless. Mm-hmm. So like taking a 10-minute walk might seem pointless. Like it burns like 5 calories. What? So just get past the mindset that small actions are meaningless and start to live in their significance. Start to find significance in the small things, and you will find that they eventually do become big things, but you have to get past the small mindset, like, that says small things don't matter.
Oh, well said.
Thank you.
My goodness, you've got a 1-year-old now, and you just got wisdom pouring out of you.
Sage
it's
wisdom.
Probably how you know small things do matter. You've got a small, tiny 1-year-old, and he matters.
He does. You really get to the core meaning of my life, Jill.
Yes.
You see
me. I know
me.
You so well.
Yeah.
two plus years of podcasting, man.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what it's done.
I know. All right, let's get on to our next article. It's from oneemptyshelf.com, and it's how to maintain minimalism. Mm-hmm. So once you're kind of settled in, and this is kind of where we are, we're embracing the lifestyle. And so how do you just make this a normal part of your life? And she's got three tips that I really enjoy. Or four, sorry, four.
Yeah, so we'll go through all of them. And the first one is to keep the right mindset, meaning to maintain this perspective that minimalism is a way of removing the unnecessary to make room for what's important. And I love the way that she describes this, because a lot of times we ourselves or others in this minimalist space can say, oh, it's deprivation. It lacks personality, right? Like we think of minimalism and we think of white walls with like one tiny greenery on like a little table.
Yes.
Just like, that's what minimalism is. It's for like quiet people who don't have children. And that's just like, it's not the case at all. So maybe we should stop using pictures that give that association. Anyhow, I digress. So maintaining this perspective that it is a helpful tool to getting at what's important in life. Mm-hmm. And every time that maybe we are thinking about just collecting and collecting and collecting, helping to put some of those stop gaps in our thought life of, well, what is this going to do? Is this going to add meaning and purpose and intentionality to my life? Or is this just like a thing that I'm mindlessly bringing into my space? And maintaining this thought life and this perspective so that we don't, again, kind of just go back into old ways because we're not thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. The next one is to continue to edit your possessions. So this is something that you will have to do and redo for the rest of your life, because even with trying to pare down your possessions or pare down your, whether they be tangible or digital or in your schedule, you have to continually reevaluate and pare down and establish what's a priority or what's important right now. Because mm-hmm. something that 3 months ago could have been really important and really useful, maybe now or in 6 months down the road, may not be. And that's mm-hmm. totally fine. There are seasons for everything. So that's why you have to continue to edit what you have. Mm-hmm. It's easy to do one big clear out and do a full reset altogether. That's great. And then just go through every maybe 6 months or as you feel like, oh, my closet's getting like crowded again. Let me see. Or my junk drawer seems junky again. Let me go through this stuff. Your space will begin to tell you when it needs to be edited. I like how she says edit. I want to use that more.
Yeah.
But your space will tell you when it needs something, and you can more easily read that when you are living a minimalist lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And finding number three on here is finding a minimalist community. So finding inspiration and support from others really helps us to keep on track with this. And this could mm-hmm. be online through Facebook groups or blogs or podcasts. But it can also be just in your community. If you've got friends who are like-minded or you want to begin your own kind of online group for people who are local to you. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before and already in this podcast, you know, with talking about blogs, but this podcast has helped me in the community that we've created maintain frugality and by proxy minimalism too. It's a focus that I appreciate for my own life, but it's amazing how much like we can stay focused on our own, but it's amazing the exponential growth and focus and inspiration and motivation that can come from having community. I think it mm-hmm. is a greater, it happens to a greater degree when you're surrounded by other like-minded people and you're allowing their ideas to kind of influence what you're doing and your choices. It's fantastic. So finding that community can be really helpful.
Yeah. So when looking for a Facebook group in particular, I recommend choosing smaller groups. Minimalism is a big topic for Facebook groups, and you can find groups with 30, 50,000 people. Mm. You're not going to get as much rich interaction with other people.
Yeah.
The Frugal Friends community on Facebook has just around 2,000, and I feel like that is just a perfect number. I know mm-hmm. we'll continue to grow, but right now I feel like we're at a great place. So don't shrug off a group because it doesn't have as many members as another group. Mm-hmm. Look, Facebook will tell you how active the group is and how many members are in it. And you want to look for groups that have fewer people but are still active, like still have new posts daily and monthly.
Just look at that when you're looking. Active is important.
Yeah, active is important to take into consideration. And Facebook mm-hmm. tells you.
Yeah.
Fourth is probably my favorite one on here. Mm. Marvel at the space and time you create to devote to things you love.
Yeah.
Minimalism isn't about removing things and leaving a gaping void. Minimalism allows you to fill that gap with every single thing you love to do and create. It's a fuller life, but a more meaningful one. Mm. And that is... that's what we're all about in minimalism and frugality is stripping away the noise, stripping away the clutter, stripping away all of the transactions, and what remains is what's most valuable.
Mm.
And take time. Once you begin to do that, don't take it for granted. Mm-hmm. Take time to step back and look at the full life you're creating and really appreciate it.
I love that word marvel. Mm-hmm. It inspires so much wonder and I think also gratitude, which I know we've talked about before as well, but that can help us to adopt a grateful perspective, to recognize the pieces that we can be grateful for, even in difficult times or when things are weird or feeling out of balance, which it has been for the past couple of months. I do think that looking for pieces of gratitude can really help. And I think a lot of what's included in the minimalist lifestyle can assist us in finding pieces to be grateful for. We can see it more clearly mm-hmm. Because we've pared down to what we love, what's meaningful, what provides us with purpose.
Yeah, it's the point that we are trying to get across here.
Yeah.
And so I hope that you've seen it. And then there's one more point we're trying to get across here. Mm. And we try and get it across every week.
Every week. You're getting it. I think
we're
all getting it.
Hopefully. Yeah. It's
the Bill of the Week.
It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
My name is Jackie. I'm an ELA teacher in Las Vegas, Nevada, the city that used to never sleep, which means that I am now teaching ELA at home. My favorite bill of the week is for my big red 2014 truck. I drove it in the school parade today. We had about 30 cars that drove through the neighborhoods that our children live in. Everybody said it was great to see because it's so bright. It's easy for everybody to look at and to know where they are in line. But it is my favorite bill of the week because I paid it off 2 months ago before we knew that coronavirus was going to be a thing. Thanks, girls, for everything you do.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
First of all, big red truck. That just sounds so fun and bright and cheery and providing so much joy to people. But also the fact that you paid it off without even knowing what was to come, but your like previous frugal mentality, desire to be debt-free has helped you right now. Well done. Amazing.
Yes. Yes. Congratulations. And gosh, I hope those kids are back in the classroom soon. I know teachers were at first really excited about like working digitally. And now I talk to them and they're like, I just need to get back in the classroom. I can't figure any of this out. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Even the ones that have figured it out are like, I kind of miss my kids. So.
Yeah. And I know parents.
I know. I mean, we don't need to talk about the parents because we all know the parents want kids.
Sad.
Yeah.
The parents are feeling right now.
Yeah. All kudos and applause to teachers and parents.
Doing this thing together. It's a joint effort.
Yeah.
Gosh. Oh, well, if you all have a big red truck or paid off debt or an amazing parade bill or other kind of bill to tell us about, please submit it to us at frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill. We'll listen to it. It may not be until like October or November at this point because y'all heard us and you've been submitting your bills like crazy. Thank you.
So we'll
hear it eventually.
Through August. We asked for bills and you provided.
Thank you for all your bills.
That's what you do because you're the best.
Yes. And now it's time for the next best thing.
The lightning round. Pew, pew, pew.
Well.
So let's talk about our decluttering. Jill, have you decluttered anything while in quarantine?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
So I do like how the previous article mentioned editing. I do feel that's what we do on the regular. So maintenance mode editing, although there's a lot to be said. I'm going to try and keep this brief. We have moved two people recently. Still in our own way of social distancing, but moves have still happened. So we've tried to do our best to help family. And I think that this highlighted to me the importance of maintaining minimalism. And this happens to all of us. Like, I would consider myself pretty extreme minimalist, and yet I still collect things. And every time I move somebody, I realize, man, we fill our space. And for me, every time I move, it's a motivator to move somebody else. It's a motivator for me to come back and look at, all right, what else can I get rid of? Because we move about once a year. It's like, not a great rate of moving for us right now, but we do. And so I realize how much it is to pack up and to move. And so I want our moves to be simpler and simpler. So since we do have an office space, we've been able to kind of unpack a lot of the stuff that we had kept in like a little storage space and start to see the things that I kept, because I thought eventually I'm going to have a house and I'm going to want these things. And now it's been like 5 years that we've lived tiny. So I'm like, well, these things I don't think I even want anymore. Like, I've done without them for so long. So little by little, we've been posting things on Facebook Marketplace and stashing some money for when we do get a place, and we'll just make the decisions for what we want at that point, but no use in keeping it anymore. I've just realized it's not worth it. So
yeah, it's funny the things you keep thinking like, hey, I'm going to want this when this happens.
Yeah.
And then by the time it happens, you don't want it anymore.
Yeah,
that's happened to me several times as well. So just assume that whenever, whatever happens, you're not going to want whatever it is, and sell it now and keep the money so that you can buy something you really do want whenever you do get your own place.
What about you?
I have done, just maintenance decluttering. Whenever I wear a shirt that I no longer enjoy, and I get most of my shirts from like clothing swaps and friends, so I don't spend money on clothing. So I don't feel bad getting rid of it either because I didn't spend any money on it. But if I don't love it, I'll put it in a pile in my closet that is the donation pile. And usually that donation pile gets donated every month, and we have not been able to donate things. So that pile is just sitting on my closet floor, just waiting to be donated at some point.
I've got a pile in my car too. These thrift stores are going to be overrun.
Oh my gosh. It's going to be the thrifter's paradise once all this stuff gets sorted out.
If the thrift stores take it all, they might start to get have standards.
It's still going to be a thrifter's paradise because it's already been pitched through.
That's true.
And Travis is actually off through May. And so he has been selling things. He's been going through our clutter and seeing what he can sell on Facebook Marketplace. So he's been doing a bulk of the decluttering, which is a total flip-flop. I have always been the declutterer and he's always been the hoarder. But right now, like, I'm just working so much that he is selling all kinds of things. It's great.
Wait, we needed that.
Right?
That's our kitchen table.
So it's been great having him come to the dark side for a little while, for as long as he's home.
Once you catch the bug, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is, especially when you're selling it on Facebook Marketplace or eBay. Then you can make a little money off of it. It's been fun. I'll usually let it sit posted for about a month. And usually things, if we think it's worth posting, it'll go pretty quickly. And if it's not, it'll sit there for a month and then just get donated. There was actually one thing recently that I did donate, and Travis, 6 months later, got somebody that wanted to buy it, but I'd already donated it. And I felt slightly bad, but not.
6 months, though. That would have been a long time to hold on to it.
Yeah. That was a while.
Yeah.
Take those tips for what you will. And I just, Have you been doing anything else in quarantine, Jill?
You know, I've been working a lot, and I know that that's kind of the case for you too. And I'm grateful for that, that my work has been, well, I say relatively unaffected, but also an increase. I work in the mental health space. And so this time has really brought out a lot of vulnerabilities for people, increased anxiety. And I mean, other things too, there are a lot of blessings that people are identifying in this time, but it's been difficult for a lot of people. And so a lot have been seeking support and encouragement during this time, which I'm so glad for, to see some of the stigma of counseling fall off, but definitely a lot more people reaching out for assistance right now. So it's really been like, I've been working from like 8 a.m. till 7 p.m. and then dinner, and it's dark out and cold here. It's still cold in Pennsylvania. It like has snowed. We're recording this end of April, and it's still like in the 30s and 40s. Anyhow, so it's just been like, that's been it, really. I wish I could say that I'm one of those people who is crossing off like crazy goals that they've had their whole lives and doing house projects and all this stuff. I mean, thankfully we live minimalist. So we don't have like big projects we have to finish, but it's been work for me.
I think everybody got all their goals done in the first month, and in April has just been everybody binging Netflix, and which is totally okay, which is fine.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. Working a lot, and I started a YouTube channel, so I added more work to my plate. And we will be growing the Frugal Friends YouTube channel, so definitely subscribe to that. Frugal Friends on YouTube. And then I started a YouTube channel for Modern Frugality. Mm-hmm. So that's going to cover some different things related to frugality. And if you like frugality, you'll definitely want to subscribe to both of those channels.
The more the
merrier. Free. It's free.
Yeah.
So no reason not to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Nice. Well, someday we'll all be able to see each other again.
One day.
Yeah.
One day.
And or at least the weather will get warm and I'll be able to enjoy the outdoors like it seems a lot of people get to do right now. There's so many people who are unashamedly like, I am so ready for bathing suit weather just because all they've been doing is exercising, like running two times a day and all this stuff. I'm like, good for you. That is not my story, but good for you.
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's wrap this thing up. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We are so thrilled, especially right now, to still be surrounded by community online and through this podcast. So thank you so much for your kind reviews, those of you who have reviewed our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. So we want to highlight one that has been especially encouraging and I think helpful for other people to kind of learn whether or not this is going to be a podcast for them. So this one's titled, Love This Podcast. Happens to be 5 stars.
Happens to be.
And they say, I am new to Frugal Friends. The podcast was recommended to me by the Budget Mom group on Facebook. I am familiar with many aspects of frugality, but there are a few gems that I picked up. This podcast is like having a conversation with your girlfriends. Jen and Jill are practical and funny, never judgy or scolding, as some well-known financial folks are. I put on this podcast when I'm cleaning the house, when I'm working on my budget, or doing my nails. Thanks, ladies. Appreciate your hard work. Rianati.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, what good times to be listening. Cleaning the house, working on the budget, or painting your nails. I'm so glad to be joining you during those times.
Because nobody's listening to us on their commute right now.
That's true.
Yeah. I know we've heard people in the Facebook group saying like, oh, I'm behind because I don't have it on my Friday morning commute. And I'm like, I know. I know. I understand.
Yeah.
So we want to thank you guys for listening and sharing. Yeah. So every month we do a drawing for $10 Amazon gift cards. If you share the latest episode and tag us at Frugal Friends Podcast on Facebook or Instagram, we will add you to our monthly drawing. And we do one of those gift cards for every 5 tags and reviews we get every month. Sorry, I just hit my mic. I just got so excited.
Yes. So keep leaving us reviews on iTunes or Stitcher and sending us a screenshot to frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com and tag us on social media. Both ways will enter you into our drawing.
Yes. And we will see you next week. Have a good Memorial Day.
Oh, bye.
Bye. Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni. Can I tell you about something that's been super therapeutic for me?
Yes.
So I watched a Clean With Me video recently, last week.
Never heard of this.
And it was, neither had I.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I was looking at cleaning stuff, but I was on YouTube and this woman had, it's Clean My Space on YouTube. She has like 1 million subscribers and she did a kitchen clean with me. And so it was a time lapse of her cleaning and she was just going through and explaining her cleaning method, how she cleaned her kitchen after a really messy day.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. This is great. And so I decided to take a time lapse of me cleaning my kitchen.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so I posted on Instagram and somebody messaged me and was like, this was oddly calming. And I was like, I know. It's calming and motivating to watch other people clean.
Yes. Right. And motivating. It's like the first step of action that you could take in that direction. But it's also... cathartic because you see a space get better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Watching disarray become order and beauty.
Yeah.
Is amazing.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because actually I was talking with a girl yesterday and she said the same thing, that I don't think it's exactly related to what you're describing, but they were doing time lapse with my phone, and I've never used that function actually on my phone before. But she's like, have you ever watched like time lapse videos of people like painting or like getting a project done, really kind of anything? It's super, I don't know what it does to us. Probably just to like see a finished product faster than what we normally, it's like what we want to have happen, like snap our fingers and it's done. Of cleaning, or I would even think like organizing or moving or whatever kind of time lapse, or doing it yourself to then to see the progress at the end from where you started.
I just thought of this. What a great challenge. If you are going to be decluttering your home, you should totally record it with time lapse. So I spent maybe a half hour cleaning my kitchen, and I think it distilled down to like 30 seconds. And so take your time and declutter and record it, and then post it on Instagram. Tag us, because we want to see it, because we need to be calmed. And and then you will have the motivation to like get it done.
Yeah.
What a great challenge.
I really like that challenge. Yeah.
So do it. We want to see it.
Yeah. A project or something. Yeah. It's decluttering for sure. But I think all of them are great ideas.
I'm looking at the closet in my office and I'm wondering how I can record a declutter.
Hmm.
I'm going to think of more things to do with the time lapse.
Yes. Let's utilize time lapse.
Yes.
Getting deeper and deeper into quarantine. Time lapse.
Time lapse.
That's amazing. All right. Well, let's get to it. Let's time lapse this thing.
Okay,
make it go by
bye.
Faster. All right. Okay. Well, bye then.